Welcome to Base by Base, the paper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Imagine facing a really serious illness and, you know, doctors have several powerful treatments available, but there's no clear way really to know which one is going to be the most effective for your specific case. What if we could actually peek inside a tumor's unique biology, its makeup, and predict exactly how it's likely to respond? It's a question that echoes for so many patients and their families. And this isn't just, you know, some hypothetical. Prostate cancer is a massive global health challenge. It accounts for about a fifth of all male cancer-related deaths. And worryingly, the number of new cases is actually predicted to rise. The real dilemma, especially when the cancer is advanced, is just how differently patients respond to things like hormone therapies and chemotherapy. We have these powerful tools, right? Mm-hmm. These therapeutic options. But picking the right one for the right patient at the right time, well, that's still a really significant hurdle. Current approaches like intensifying treatment, they do offer survival benefits, yes, but they often come with pretty substantial physical side effects, not to mention the financial costs. So the question is, what if looking at a tumor's entire genetic blueprint, its transcriptome, could fundamentally change this decision-making? Could it really revolutionize patient outcomes? That's the core question we're digging into in our deep dive today. And today we want to celebrate the really impactful work of Emily Grist, Peter Duty-Magny, Marina A. Perry, and their whole team, led by Gerhard Attard at University College London and their collaborators. Their groundbreaking research, which was published in Cell on October 2nd, 2025, significantly advances our understanding of personalized treatment selection for advanced prostate cancer. So why is this research so incredibly crucial right now?
Well, as we mentioned, advanced prostate cancer is responsible for most deaths from the disease, and unfortunately, those numbers are expected to go up. For patients with advanced disease, the current standard of care often involves intensified anti-androgen strategy. So that usually means combining ADT androgen deprivation therapy.
Right, the hormone therapy.
Exactly, which lowers male hormones. Combining that with something like an AR pathway inhibitor, maybe abiraterone, which blocks hormone signaling even further, or alternatively, ADT might be combined with chemotherapy, typically docetaxel.
Which directly attacks the cancer cells.
Right, the rapidly dividing ones. And sometimes, you know, in really aggressive cases, doctors might even use all three together. But even with these powerful options, patient outcomes just vary so widely. And here's the really critical unmet need. There are basically no reliable predictive tests available right now. Nothing to really help doctors choose the best treatment combination for an individual patient right when they're diagnosed. This uncertainty, it leads to worries about overtreatment for some people, you know, all the side effects, the cost, and tragically, undertreatment for others who might not be getting the therapy that would work best for them. Now, we've seen lots of research before identifying different molecular changes in prostate cancer.
Sure. Things like TP53 or PPN gene loss.
Exactly. Or gene fusions like ERG. But connecting those individual molecular bits to actual predictive power for specific combination therapies, that's been a really persistent challenge.
It really has. What's been fascinating, or maybe frustrating, in the field is that we've had this wealth of molecular data piling up. But the challenge has always been, how do you meaningfully integrate all that complex data with actual real-world long-term patient outcomes, especially outcomes from properly designed large clinical trials?
Right, bridging that gap.
Exactly. The gap between, you know, the lab bench discovery and the clinical decision at the bedside has been pretty wide. This study really tries to tackle that head-on. They're using extensive clinical data from patients who were properly randomized in major trials. That gives their molecular findings a really robust foundation. It's about making that data truly actionable for doctors.
That sounds like a huge undertaking. So how did the research team actually approach this? How do they tackle such a complex problem?
Well, they take a really smart approach, actually. They leverage patient samples from these practice-changing phase 3 clinical trials. And these weren't just any trials. They came from the STAMPEDE platform protocol.
Ah, STAMPEDE. Yeah, that's a big name in prostate cancer research.
It really is. It's a globally recognized framework that evaluated treatments like docetaxel and abiraterone. And crucially, these trials provided an impressive 14-year survival follow-up.
Wow, 14 years. That's a long time. Why is that kind of long-term view so incredibly valuable in prostate cancer research specifically?
That's a great question. See, prostate cancer can sometimes be quite slow-growing, at least for some men, but can also be very aggressive in others. Short-term studies might show an initial response, sure, but a 14-year follow-up lets us see the true, lasting impact on survival. It helps us figure out which treatments offer just, you know, fleeting benefits versus those that genuinely extend life over the long haul. It's absolutely essential for understanding the real value.
Okay, that makes complete sense. So they use these robust STAMPEDE trials, and you mentioned another trial too.
Yes, they also use the CHAARTED trial cohort for independent validation.
Ah, validation.
All right, adding another layer of scientific rigor, making sure the findings weren't just specific to one group.
And what about the patient samples themselves? What were they working with?
The patient cohort was pretty substantial, actually. They analyzed prostate tumors from 1,523 patients. And it was a good mix, about 832 with metastatic disease, meaning the cancer had spread.
Okay.
And 691 with non-metastatic disease, still confined to the prostate area. And importantly, the samples were these routinely collected formalin-fixed paraffin-embedded tissues, FFPE as we call them.
Right, FFPE. That sounds technical, but why is that detail important?
It's critical because FFPE is the standard way hospitals everywhere preserve tissue samples. It means their methods and findings could potentially be applied using the existing tissue archives hospitals already have. It makes it much more translatable to real-world practice.
Got it. So standard samples. And how do they actually peek inside these tumors like we talked about earlier?
They used clinical-grade microarray technology. This lets them generate these transcriptome-wide expression profiles.
Microarrays. Okay. So that's looking at gene activity.
Exactly. Think of it as a really sophisticated lab tool that allows you to measure the activity levels of thousands of genes all at once. It gives you that comprehensive snapshot showing which genes are turned up, which are turned down, basically revealing the tumor's unique biological fingerprint.
And clinical grade means?
It means the technology itself is robust, it's reproducible, and it's optimized in a way that could potentially be used reliably in actual patient care, not just in a research lab.
Okay, so a really deep, reliable look inside the tumor's workings. What specific signatures or patterns were they actually looking for in all that data?
Well, they cast a pretty wide net. They evaluated 59 different gene expression signatures. Some of these were specifically developed for prostate cancer before, but they also included broader pan-cancer signatures, ones identified in other types of cancer too. These signatures capture really crucial biological processes that drive cancer, like cell proliferation.
How fast the cells are dividing.
Exactly. And androgen receptor signaling, obviously key in prostate cancer and various metabolic activities too. And to kind of double check their findings, they also did what's called orthogonal validation.
Orthogonal, meaning using a different method to confirm.
Precisely. They used traditional immunohistochemistry markers like Ki-67, which also measures proliferation, and PTEN protein staining on adjacent slices of the same tissue. Comparing results from different techniques adds confidence.
And you mentioned earlier they followed strict guidelines, including pre-specifying analyses. Can you just quickly remind us why that pre-specification step is so vital for this kind of biomarker research?
Absolutely. It's fundamental for statistical rigor. Pre-specifying means they decided before looking at the outcome data exactly which signatures they'd test, which patient groups they'd compare, and how they'd run the statistics. It minimizes the risk of bias, you know, prevents researchers from just dredging through the data until they find something that looks significant by chance.
Right. Prevents cherry picking.
Exactly. It ensures the findings are truly robust and much less likely to be statistical flukes.
Okay. So with that really meticulous methodology set up, what did they actually find? What did these deep dives into the tumor transcriptomes reveal about patient outcomes? What were the key results?
Okay, so let's start with some of the general prognostic insights. Things that predict outcome regardless of treatment. They found that higher activity, the androgen receptor, that AR signaling pathways in the tumors was generally linked to longer patient survival.
Okay, that reinforces known biology.
It does. And conversely, increased tumor cell proliferation, basically, how fast the cancer cells were dividing, was consistently linked to shorter survival. And this held true across several different gene signatures that measure proliferation, like CCP, signatures related to TP53 loss, and importantly, the Decipher score.
And that matched the Ki-67 staining, too.
Yes, it correlated well with the Ki-67 immunohistochemistry results. So faster dividing cells mean poor prognosis generally.
But now we get to the really interesting part, right? The predictive findings. One of the study's most impactful confirmations involved that Decipher RNA signature.
Indeed. This was a major finding. The study confirmed that Decipher wasn't just prognostic, you know, predicting general outcome. It was also a powerful predictor of docetaxel sensitivity, specifically in men with metastatic prostate cancer.
Okay, that's a crucial distinction. Prognostic versus predictive. Can you break down what they saw for patients with high versus low Decipher scores getting docetaxel?
Absolutely. So for metastatic patients who received docetaxel chemotherapy, those whose tumors had high Decipher scores showed a statistically significant improvement in survival. The hazard ratio was 0.64. Now, for listeners, that basically means roughly a 36% reduction in the risk of death for that high Decipher group if they got docetaxel compared to similar patients who didn't.
36% reduction. That's substantial.
It is. And in stark contrast, those patients with lower Decipher scores, they did not show a significant benefit from adding docetaxel. Their hazard ratio was 0.96, which is very close to 1, indicating almost no difference in risk whether they got docetaxel or not.
Wow.
And this clear difference, this biomarker treatment interaction, had a p-value of 0.039. That confirms it's statistically significant and unlikely to be just random chance.
Can we put that in terms of actual time? Like, how much longer did people live?
Yes, they quantified that.
Yeah.
Adding docetaxel treatment increased the 5-year restricted mean survival time, basically. Average survival over 5 years, by an impressive 8 months for patients with those high Decipher tumors.
8 months?
Compared to essentially 0 months difference for those with lower Decipher scores.
That's a profound difference in someone's life expectancy gained just by using this test to guide treatment.
It really is. And interestingly, they also found that metastatic tumors with high Decipher scores, if they were treating with ADT and abiraterone instead of docetaxel, actually had shorter survival. This highlights that high Decipher group as having a significant unmet medical need. They don't do as well with the hormone combo alone, but they do benefit greatly from docetaxel.
So it helps both ways identify who benefits and who might need something different.
Precisely. It means we can potentially identify which patients truly stand to gain from chemo, avoiding its often tough side effects in others who wouldn't get that survival advantage, and making sure we give it to those who need it most.
Okay, that's huge for Decipher, but wait until you hear this. There was another finding, maybe more exploratory, but still highly significant, concerning a different signature, the PTEN Loss-Liu transcriptome classifier.
Yes, this is another really exciting part of the study. This classifier flags tumors where the PTEN gene pathway is inactivated. Mm-hmm. PTEN is a well-known tumor suppressor. What they discovered was that metastatic tumors classified as PTEN inactive by this signature showed shorter survival if they were treated with ADT alone or ADT combined with abiraterone.
So PTEN inactivation suggests these cancers are more aggressive, less responsive to the standard hormone approaches.
That seems to be the implication, yes.
Okay, but here's the critical part. Those PTEN inactive metastatic tumors, they did not experience shorter survival if they were treated with ADT plus docetaxel.
Exactly. That's the key interaction. It strongly suggests that docetaxel chemotherapy is particularly effective in these cancers that have PTEN pathway inactivation. The effect was clear, a highly significant biomarker docetaxel interaction with a p-value of 0.002. Very statistically reliable.
Wow, 0.002. And did they quantify the survival benefit here too?
They did. Adding docetaxel increased the 5-year restricted mean survival time by a remarkable 9 months, specifically in patients with this PTEN inactive metastatic disease.
9 months, even slightly more than with the high Decipher score.
What's really fascinating here, as you touched on earlier, is that this transcriptome-based PTEN inactivation classifier actually seemed to outperform the traditional method just looking for PTEN protein loss using immunohistochemistry in predicting who benefits from docetaxel.
Right. Why do you think that is? Why is looking at the gene activity, the transcriptome, seemingly more powerful here than just seeing if the protein is physically there or not?
That's a great point. The thinking is that the transcriptome classifier isn't just detecting the absence of the PTEN protein itself. It's actually capturing the downstream functional consequences of PTEN loss across a whole network of genes. It reflects how the tumor's entire biology, its wiring, has adapted because PTEN isn't doing its job properly.
So it's more functional readout.
Exactly. It tells us more about the effect of that PTEN loss, which seems to be a better indicator of sensitivity to docetaxel in this context, rather than just the physical presence or absence of the protein.
And the power of potentially using these together seems really striking. You mentioned Decipher relates more to proliferation, PTEN to metabolic regulation. They're measuring different things.
That's right. They represent distinct biological pathways, and there's actually very little overlap in the specific genes they look at. They're largely independent signals.
So they give complementary information.
Correct. And the research has looked at this. They found that about 28% of the metagenetic tumors had both a high Decipher score and were classified as PTEN inactive.
Almost a third. And for that subgroup?
For this combined subgroup, adding docetaxel was incredibly effective. It reduced the hazard of death by a striking 45%. The hazard ratio was 0.55.
Wow, nearly halving the risk of death for that specific group by adding chemo.
It's a really significant potential impact, identifying this group that seems particularly vulnerable, but also highly treatable with docetaxel.
Okay, so stepping back, what does all of this really mean for the bigger picture? What are the broader implications of these findings for treating prostate cancer?
Well, I think this deep dive provides really robust evidence, maybe some of the strongest evidence to date, that these transcriptome-wide expression classifiers done on the initial diagnostic biopsy, they can genuinely identify clinically actionable groups in advanced prostate cancer. And importantly, independent of other standard clinical factors like Gleason score or disease stage.
So it adds unique information.
It adds unique predictive information. This is a monumental step towards truly personalized treatment. It moves us away from that kind of one-size-fits-all approach that we know doesn't work optimally for everyone.
And what about the specifics? What does this mean for the Decipher classifier moving forward? Is it ready?
Based on this evidence, particularly the pre-specified validation and the consistent results across different large trials, Decipher looks like a very strong candidate for pretty rapid clinical implementation. It could immediately start helping physicians make much more informed decisions about who should really get docetaxel, potentially sparing some patients unnecessary chemo, which is huge.
Absolutely.
And just as importantly, making sure we identify those patients who desperately need it and stand to benefit the most.
And the PTEN signature, where does that stand?
The PTEN inactivation classifier, while still technically an exploratory finding from this specific study design, is incredibly compelling. Like we discussed, it even suggests a plausible biological reason for why docetaxel works better in those tumors. PTEN normally helps stabilize the cell's internal skeleton, the cytoskeleton.
Which is what docetaxel targets.
Precisely. So if PTEN is inactive, the theory goes, the cytoskeleton might be inherently less stable, more vulnerable to docetaxel's disruptive effects.
That makes sense mechanistically.
It does. And it naturally raises the next big question. Could a composite test, maybe combining both Decipher and the PTEN inactivation signature, further refine treatment selection? Could that lead to even better outcomes? The potential there seems enormous.
It's also interesting that the study highlighted differences between metastatic and non-metastatic disease. The prognostic impact wasn't always the same.
Yes, that's another key point. It emphasizes that the biological context matters. We need context-specific interpretation of these biomarkers. What predicts outcome in localized disease might be different in metastatic disease. It's not a static picture.
And importantly, the researchers really did their homework here, following rigorous guidelines using a clinical-grade test. It seems like they've laid a clear path towards implementation.
They really have. While, you know, the ideal scenario might be further validation in big trials that directly compare ADT plus an ARPI versus ADT plus docetaxel versus maybe all three. These current findings are so strong using robust clinical trial data that they offer a pretty clear path for potentially rapid integration into clinical practice quite soon.
If we just connect this back to the big picture one last time, these findings really feel like a testament to the power of integrating that huge amount of molecular data with solid long-term clinical outcomes.
Absolutely. It allows us to move beyond just broad categorizations and really start to understand the unique individual biology of each patient's tumor.
Which then leads to the crucial question you raised. How quickly can we actually translate this kind of robust scientific insight into real, tangible, life-saving benefits for patients right around the world? Okay, so the take-home message here seems clear. This groundbreaking research represents a really significant leap forward for how we might treat advanced prostate cancer. By precisely profiling a tumor's gene activity using these transcriptome classifiers like Decipher and maybe soon the PTEN inactivation signature, doctors could potentially get much better at predicting which patients will benefit most from docetaxel chemotherapy. This points towards a future where treatment selection isn't just based on general clinical features, but on the unique molecular fingerprint of each patient's cancer, offering a more targeted, hopefully a more effective approach to improving not just survival, but also quality of life. So what does this mean for you listening? It really means concrete hope for more tailored, more effective treatments coming down the line in the fight against advanced prostate cancer. This research gives us unprecedented power to personalize cancer care. But as we unlock more of these molecular fingerprints, What new ethical considerations and practical challenges will we face in ensuring equitable global access to these increasingly sophisticated and potentially costly diagnostic and therapeutic pathways? Something to think about. This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.